Well, good evening to you, and I hope you've had a wonderful Sunday afternoon. I hope for you personally that you had time to get a little nap in, or at least some quietness and relaxation. And you made a choice to be in this place at this time. That choice, I commend you. And it's not because I'm the speaker. It's because of the common purpose that brings us all here. Choices have consequences. And the consequence of making a choice to be a part of something like this is good. Because God will bless you. And I'll do my very best to say something in the next few minutes that will encourage you as a Christian as you struggle through this world that's a mess. We're in a mess, and we know it. I'm honored to have Paul and the Don, my brother and his wife, with us tonight. You all know them from their great work through all the years in Giles County in this area. And he's preaching for Cedar Grove down at Rogersville. Today is when they had their evening service early. They chose to come here and be with us tonight. And I'm honored they've done that. Paul and I had a father named Harold who was a gospel preacher. And he remembers, as I do, going with our father to hear him preach in different places, gospel meetings and so on, all the way back to 1900, and let's don't talk about it. But in those times when we heard our father and other ministers of the gospel, we heard them talk about the Christian's relationship to the world. Because the world that we're in is full of temptation. It's full of heartaches, discouragements. It has its trials. But we're not the first generation that's dealt with that. Christians have always been challenged like that. And when you read in history about Christians way back into the 18th, 19th century, you are reminded we're not the first Christians that were challenged by dealing with a world that's headed in the wrong direction. Excuse me. And I remember those ministers of the gospel talking about the Christian's relationship to the world, and I remember that there was an illustration that was used frequently by them. That illustration went like this. The Christian in the world is like a boat in water. The boat is in the water, but you don't want the water in the boat. And likewise, the Christian is in the world, but you don't want the world in the Christian. We work in the world. We go to school in the world. We buy and purchase and sell and get gain and so on in the world. So we have to deal with the world. But the challenge is keeping ourselves separated from the world and not letting the world get into us and influence us to do and say things that are unholy. Because, you see, we as Christians, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4, we're called to a life of holiness. He was talking specifically about those who were caught up in idolatry and even in the committing of sins like fornication. And Paul said, That's not why you were made like you are. You're made a sexual creature, but it's not for the committing of fornication. You're made a person who is in the image of God, and your purpose of creation is to serve God and bring honor and praise to Him. So live the life of holiness to which God calls you. And don't let the world get into you. Tonight, I'm going to take you to three places in the Scriptures. And as we look at these three segments of Scriptures, we're going to focus in upon just some of the many Scriptures that the Bible, the Holy Word of God, speaks to us about the world. The Scriptures are replete with it. And I'll mention some other Scriptures, but there are three that we're going to focus on. Let's start in 1 John chapter 2. So open your Bibles there. 1 John chapter 2. Toward the end of John's life, toward the end of the first century, John wrote to Christians about the world. Read verses 15, 16, and 17 with me. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The first thing that strikes me from this Scripture are the first four words, and I'm reading from the King James Version, love not the world. And the thing that strikes me about that is, wait a minute. In John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. So the Bible declares that God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die as the atonement for our sins, and then He turns around and tells us not to love the world. So what's up with that? How do you explain that? And incidentally, in both cases, it's talking about the cosmos, this world that God created. So when the Bible says God loved the world, and then He tells us not to love the world, it's obvious, and the context will show that it's obvious, that we're talking about different parts of the world. When the Bible tells us that God so loved the world, that's obviously a reference to those people, those human beings made in the image of God who walk in darkness and who are the sinful, lost mankind. They are in darkness. And God, as their Father, as their sovereign Creator, loved them. In spite of their sin so much that He was willing to do what they could not do on their own, and that's to provide salvation for them. So He gave His Son for them. When He tells us not to love the world, now first of all I need to remind you, He's obviously not talking about the universe, the planets. He's not talking about the trees and the rocks and so on. Because when God created those things, He looked at it and said, it's good. So the world, the rocks and the trees and all the things that God created, the material things, the tangible things, those things are good. And we need to love those things. We need to do it, of course, with wisdom and understand that those inanimate objects are not where our greatest affection is to be. and become like some of those today that we call tree huggers. Saw a video not long ago on the internet. Some woman out in a forest with a group of younger people, and they were praying to the trees and apologizing to the trees for the way we mistreat them by cutting them down. And I did what you just did. I chuckled. I said, oh, wait a minute, she's serious. You know? But that's sad. That's an extreme. But those things are good. Well, okay, then that brings you back to the question, when he tells us not to love the world, what part of the world is he telling us not to love? Well, and behold, the Scriptures tell you. Let's read it again and see if that's not the case. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. There's your answer. When he tells you and me not to love the world, he's talking about the things of the world that are not of the Father. And I'm talking to intelligent people. I'm talking to people who know what the Bible teaches, and therefore I am safely concluding you wouldn't have any trouble picking that out, would you? You see things every day. You read things every day. You hear things every day. You watch people doing things every day that you would look at and say, that's not what God intended for man's life to be. That's not right. That's what he's telling you not to love. There are things in this world that take you away from the path that God intended for you to walk. Don't fall in love with that. Now, it's not inaccurate. It's not unscriptural to also conclude that there are some things of this world that are not wrong within themselves, but would become wrong if they become more important to you than spiritual matters. It could be your car. It could be your checking account. It could be a sport. And you don't talk to a sports fan any bigger than me. I love sports. But I keep it in perspective. And I need to. And you remember, some of you are old enough, remember every time you bought a car, you made a picture of it? There's some of you remember that. And you'd go make a picture of your car, but that didn't mean you worshipped your car. And you have to be concerned about making the right investments with your money, but you don't worship it to the point that it becomes more important to you than doing God's will. That's what John is talking about here. He said there are things in this world that are not of the Father. Don't fall in love with those things. Because the love of the world and the love of the Father cannot mutually exist in the same heart at the same time. You cannot love the Father and be in love with the things of this world at the same time. It's reminiscent of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 when he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. You'll either hate the one, love the other, or else despise the one and cleave to the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to have to make a choice. And so there are things in this world that are okay within themselves, but you keep them in moderation. And then there are things of this world that are just downright sinful. And we'll get to that in just a moment. And from those things, you keep your distance. Have nothing to do with them. This lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, he's talking about sensuality. He's talking about materialism. He's talking about egotism. Those three things. Lust of the flesh, that's sensuality. The lust of the eyes, that's the materialism. Ooh, look at that mansion. I'd like to own that. The eyes can be drawn to things that'll get your vision warped. And then pride of life. Are we not in a world filled with egotism? Have you ever heard the word narcissism? Yeah. Because we're in a culture today where we're told day after day, it's all about me, buddy. This life is about me. I want my way. I want to be pleased. I want you to be concerned about satisfying me. And it's not all about you. It'll be hard for me not to do a whole sermon on this right now. But we parents and grandparents better watch out. Because we are rearing generation after generation now that is being convinced that it is all about them. The whole world revolves around children. We let children think that. It's the parental philosophy of our day. John Rosemond, who is an excellent child-rearing expert, says one of the best things you can do for your children is have moments when you ignore them and just let them know life goes on without you. That's what John is talking about here. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and so on. Because it is of this world, it is not of the Father. But wait a minute, what's the last part in verse 17? The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This table is temporary. Your house is temporary. The bank where your money is deposited is temporary. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here you're going to see the words of the Apostle Peter as he wrote to Christians. That's us, isn't it? He wrote to Christians. Look at verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. There's a song, I suppose it's in this book. I haven't looked to be specific about it. But there's a song that all of us know. Remember the one that says, here we are but straying pilgrims? That's the idea. That's what Peter is addressing right here. We're just like the other song. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I don't know how many times I thought about that back some years ago. Phyllis and I were richly blessed by some generous Christian friends who presented to us a trip to the Bible Land. And for 2 weeks, we were in Turkey and Greece and Egypt and Israel and the Greek Isles and so on. And like I said, I don't know how many times when I'm over there on foreign soil, that I realized and I remembered. I'm just a stranger here. And you don't have to tell them. They know that. They know by the way you talk. You talk to somebody, they say, oh, let's see, you're from North Alabama or Southern Tennessee. I thought, yeah, okay. But they know. They know you're a stranger. Now, while I'm a stranger there, I'm going to obey the law, be a good abiding visitor. But I knew Israel's not my home. I was just there temporarily. I'm just passing through. That's what that song is about, and that's what this scripture is about. You're just passing through. Paul addressed that very thing when he wrote the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3. He said in verse 20, our citizenship, if you use the modern interpretation of the Greek word there, our citizenship is in heaven. Because you see, we're citizens of the spiritual kingdom of God. And we're here on earth temporarily. We're just passing through. So it makes no sense to fall in love with the world to the point that you don't want to leave it. And yes, we have human ties and we have love for our family and our friends, and the thought of me leaving my wife and my children and family and so on is not a pleasant thought to me. I enjoy being with them. But I do not want to reach the point that I don't want to leave them to the point that I don't want to go to heaven. Better yet, let me just take them with me. Because this world is not my home. And there are things in this world that are so alluring. And you can just get caught up in it, in the day-to-day pursuit and the responsibilities and the obligations and paying the bills and making a living and getting an education and doing all those things that are a part of life. And you can get so engrossed in all of that that you forget. And if you were in my class this morning, you forget, who am I? Where did I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going? It's easy to forget that. So John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because those things are temporary. They pass away. Peter said, remember your strangers and pilgrims, your travelers, and abstain. Abstain means have no part of, no participation in the lust of this world, that war against the soul. You see, there are some desires of the flesh that work against spirituality. Well, see, that's what Paul was talking about in Romans 12 when he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Understand, renew this mind. Understand who you are, where you're from, where you're going, why you're here. It's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 11, saying, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, that's the King James Version. And if you're reading New King James or New International Version, New American Standard, ESV, or whatever, let me tell you what you're going to find. It won't say reprove them. It'll say it like this. Have no fellowship with those unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. Bring to people, bring to light, bring to people's attention the things that are ungodly. Starting with yourself, starting with your family, starting with your children and so on. So we need to understand that perspective that we are to have of this world It's not my home. I'm just passing through. And there are things in it that will hurt me and drive me away from God instead of pulling me toward God. And then the last thing. Just hours before Jesus was betrayed by Judas, just hours before he was arrested, beaten, and nailed to a cross, he spent some time with his apostles, telling them. Now, while I've been here, I've been telling you, I've been preparing you for this moment. I'm leaving you. I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm not going to leave you alone. I will pray to the Father who will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll bring to your remembrance the things that I've taught you. I'm not going to leave you without that guide, the Holy Spirit. But he said, I've been preparing you for this moment. And I'm now preparing you, and I'm telling you this because I'm gone. When I'm gone, you're going to face something that is going to hit you right in the face, so to speak. What in the world was he talking about? The world's going to hate you. Turn to John 15. The Gospel according to John, chapter 15. And I'm about to say some things to all of us that'll be very blunt. It'll be just as blunt as Jesus was to the apostles. And here it is, verse 18. If the world, that's what we're talking about tonight, isn't it? The world. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but if I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Look at chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. I was talking to Greg Foster, I think it was, the other day about deer hunting season. Got some deer hunters in here. There are certain seasons. It's okay. Lift the bow and arrow or the gun and kill a deer. You do it at other times, you break the law. Well, it's open season right now on Christians. In the world that we live in, open fire. And you can't say anything critical, negative, about people of other religions. Iowa, the state of Iowa, incidentally, just passed a bill. There is a bill from the Concerned Citizens of Iowa, I think is the name of their organization, that preachers cannot say anything about transgenders or transgenderism, because it would make a transgender person uncomfortable. That's the world we're in, okay? But you can say anything about a Christian you want to say. You can blame them for everything. And there are people in our nation right today who have an agenda. If they get their way with their agenda, they're going to make it illegal for me to stand here and tell you the things that I'm about to tell you, such as homosexuality is a sin. That'll be illegal for me to do. They would reduce us to the point that, well, if you want to be a Christian and exercise your Christian faith, go in a closet and do what you need to do in there to be a Christian. But when you come out of that closet, leave your religion in there. That's the world we're in. That's what Jesus is talking about. He said, but when you get out there and there are people that they don't like you because of your convictions, they hate you. They'll say mean and hurtful things to you. And you're not allowed to talk about certain things in certain circumstances or environments because it's offensive to other people. That's the kind of world he's talking about. And Jesus said, when that happens, just remember how they hated me first. And they're going to hate you. And there will be a time, he said to those apostles, when they will think that because they're killing you, they're doing God a service. And how did every one of those apostles die? As a martyr. And what's going on in our world right now? The leaders of the Muslims say, on your knees. Cut your head off. And they're proud because they're doing Muhammad a great service. Allah is the supreme. And they'd look at you and say, you're really serious about all this? And then Jesus explained, there's a reason. They don't know Him. And they don't know me, he said. And because they don't know the Father and they don't know me, therefore they don't know you. They don't know who you are. They don't recognize who you are. They just think you are infidels because you don't believe in Allah. By the way, are you preparing those little children to live in that kind of world? That's what Kyle Butt was talking about at East Hill and here a few days ago. We live in an unfriendly world. And brethren, there's something we need to understand. As long as you and I believe what this book, the Holy Bible, teaches. As long as we teach, faithfully teach what this book teaches, we're not going to be the most popular people around. And we're going to have enemies. And the church needs to make up our collective minds. We're not going to weaken. We're going to keep on keeping on. And we will teach the truth, even if it means going to jail or even if it means losing my life. I will not forsake my Lord. He gave His life for me. I will give mine to Him. Jesus Christ never promised, "Come follow me and everything will be wonderful. You'll have all the money you want. You'll have all of the happiness you want. Everybody will like you." That's that prosperity gospel that you see on the Trinity Broadcasting Network and so on. And it misleads people and it's contrary to the Scriptures. But you just make up your mind. I'm going to be faithful to my Lord no matter the cost. And if somebody doesn't like me because of it, that's okay. You see, I stand here and I look at you. I like you. I've been telling you that. I like you. And I want you to like me. But I'll tell you something else. If you don't like me, I can live with that as long as I know God approves of my life, if He likes me. I can do without your approval, but I cannot do without God's approval. That's our study for tonight. Open your songbooks, please, to the number announced. And when we stand in a moment and sing this song, think about your life. Think about what you need to do to be right with God. And if you're right with God and you're faithful to Him, then thank Him for the privilege of being His child. But if you need to make some changes in your life, make them. Don't go home lost. Come while we stand and while we sing.